I'm back. My name's Robert Miller. I was with you 3 months ago, and it's a privilege to be back. Good morning. I'm excited for you as you prepare for your new pastor. Pastor Jay had the privilege to meet with him yesterday, and he is eager to serve you. So these are exciting times, and we're excited for you. This is actually a pivotal moment in the life of your congregation. This will be another season of change. And so our office will continue to lift you up in prayer during this time of transition. The good news is that although you are going to be experiencing more change, the Lord hasn't changed, right? Amen. The Lord hasn't changed. He knows what you need. He knows what you've been through. And as you seek Him, He will carry you through all of this. And so in this season of transition, I encourage you to hold fast in the Lord Jesus Christ. With this in mind, I want to take you to the Old Testament. You heard the passage read this morning in Joshua. In this Old Testament passage, God's people were in transition, much like you are going through. They too faced a lot of change. Before they set foot in the promised land, God wanted them to know what He expected of them. And so today I want to take you to the book of Joshua. This book takes us to a critical period in Israel's history. After 40 years of wandering, it was time for Israel to enter and conquer the promised land with their new leader, Joshua. In the book of Joshua, Joshua is a type of Jesus. You see, not only does his name mean the Lord saves, the Hebrew equivalent of Joshua in Greek is the name Jesus. And so, much like Jesus, Joshua would lead God's people to victory and bring them to a place of rest. Now, before they start on this new journey to the promised land, God set some conditions for his servant Joshua. In other words, a promising future would not just fall out of the sky for them. There were some things that they needed to do as God's people. And so let's see what God promised and what he required of them. You can follow along in your Bible as we look at Joshua 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. You may want to refer to those verses as we go through this passage. But before we go any further, let's join me in a word of prayer. Lord, we need your direction. We need a word from you. And so we ask this morning, Lord, that you would search our hearts, that you would teach us, that you would lead us, that you would continue to reveal yourself to us as we look to you and obey your word. Thank you again for this text, for your word, and we trust, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts and lead us as we serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, let's look at four truths that rise up from the text. And if you're taking notes, I will give you 4 points. If you're a note taker, the first one is that God remains faithful to his promises. Let me repeat that. God remains faithful to his promises. The book of Joshua continues where Deuteronomy ends. After many years of slavery in Egypt and 40 years in the desert, you know that Moses' leadership comes to an end. We must not forget that Moses played an important part in Israel's history. It was Moses who led God's people out of Egypt, and it was Moses who led them through difficult years in the wilderness. For 40 years, he was their leader in religious, domestic, judicial, military, and civic concerns. And so Moses was a key player in with God's people. In fact, in Deuteronomy 34, 10 and 11, it says this, "Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land." So Moses was held in high regard by God and God's people. But we see here in the book of Joshua that his ministry comes to an end. At the age of 120, this servant of the Lord dies. And for 30 days, the people grieve over his loss. You see, because of his prior disobedience, Moses was not allowed to lead God's people into the promised land. And we see here, it is Joshua who would turn God's promise now into reality. Now, Joshua's appointment to be successor to Moses was no surprise to Israel. For many years, he assisted Moses, sort of receiving on-the-job training. Joshua was also one of the 12 spies, you may recall, that was sent to check out the promised land. Plus, Joshua was also a man of character. The Bible describes him as a man with a deep trust in God and a man filled with the spirit of wisdom. And so we see here, Joshua is commissioned to now lead God's people. And his first assignment is to get the people ready to cross the Jordan. You say, why? Because God promised them land on the other side of the Jordan. You see, God promised land in an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In Genesis 12, 7, the Lord appeared to Abram, and he said, to your offspring I give this land. And then in verses 3 and 4, God says, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. You see, after all of these years of waiting, after all that they went through, after all the trials, their time had finally come. They would finally receive what was promised to their forefathers. You see, my friends, after all those years, God remained faithful to his promises. Listen, the God of the Bible is still faithful to his recorded promises in the Word of God. According to one person's count, there are 3,573 promises in the Bible, and these promises that we see in God's Word still impact you and me today. For example, in Philippians, we are promised, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That's his promise to us. When we struggle in temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up against it or under it. God also promised to empower his church to be with her to the very end of the age. You see, with all that you have experienced, that we have experienced in this pandemic, with the current economy and the changes that you have endured as a church, this is a good time to remember God's faithfulness. He has not let you down, and he never hid his face from you. He is still on track to finish what he started in you and me, and any hardship did not disrupt his timetable or alter his purposes. God has been faithful, and this is a great time to affirm it and move forward with confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Like the Israelites, we get restless, and yes, we get impatient, but think about this. God is immutable, which means he doesn't change. His perfect attributes are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Our Lord is steadfast. He's unswerving. He's unfailing. He's dependable, and he is trustworthy. Amen. And so God continues to prove his faithfulness, which gives us reason to celebrate it even now. The next thing I see in this passage in chapter 1 is that God promises never to leave nor forsake us. God promises never to leave nor forsake us. After God instructs Joshua to get ready to cross the Jordan, he offers Joshua and the people a word of encouragement. He says to Joshua, "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life." Now, I believe this statement was a huge encouragement to Joshua and to the people. You see, as Israel's new leader, Joshua had to lead them to do three things. He would lead them to enter the land, which required that they cross the treacherous Jordan River. And friends, that might not be a big deal to us, but that was a big deal back then. Second, he would lead them to conquer their enemies, which meant 7 years of battles. Then he would lead them to occupy the land, which involved dividing the land and helping the people settle. Now keep in mind, the land was promised to Israel, but they still had to go and possess it. The land was a gift from God, but they still had to march on it and battle for it, sort of like our salvation. It's free, but we still have to work it out. Living out our salvation does often involve trials and battles in our life. Israel would be in numerous battles where the odds were against them, but again, God promised that no one would stand against them, just like the church. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. God added, "I was with Moses, so I will be with you." And so I want you to hear this. The secret to Moses' success was that God was with him. God was with him. It was not his charisma. It wasn't his giftedness. The reason Moses was a success was that God was with him. And the same holds true or would hold true for Joshua. This also applies to the church. Go to Matthew 28, 19 and 20, a very familiar passage. It says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And so today, God gives us an assignment, and he promises to be with us. In verse 5, God also says to Joshua, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Again, the context indicates that Joshua really needed to hear this word. He needed a fresh word of encouragement with all that was going on. You might recall that when Israel was in the wilderness, they were constantly murmuring because they felt that God had abandoned them. God also knew that Joshua and the people would be terrified when they started to conquer the land. You see, the enemy, the Canaanites, were a strong people, advanced in warfare with fortified cities. And so God reminds Joshua that he would not abandon his people during those moments. You know, today we can still hold on to this truth. This morning, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will not leave you nor forsake you. If Jesus is your Lord, you never have to pray, "Lord, please be with me," because he is always with you, because his Holy Spirit's in you. He walks with you. He talks to you through his Spirit and the Word of God. And no man can stand against what the Lord is doing in your life. And that's great news. Jesus gave this promise in John 10, 27, 28. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them from my hand." You see, friends, if God is for us, who can be against us? This means whatever trials you experience, whatever challenges you face, you can be sure that God will never abandon you. Rather, he will guide you and he will carry you through difficult times. For example, God did not leave us during the pandemic. Rather, I believe he used COVID-19 to carry out his purposes. You know, in these last few years, a lot of us have been in survival mode, just trying to get through the pandemic, along with other adversities that we face. Yet God uses time, I believe, to develop godly people, to reveal the true church, and to call out more to salvation. I believe he was shaking up the world and he was refining the church. And the fact that God never leaves his people should compel us now to move forward with confidence in him. With confidence in him. There's another thing I see in this text I think is important, is that God exhorts us to be courageous in battles. God exhorts us to be courageous in battles. And so after a word of encouragement, Joshua then received a word of exhortation. God said to Joshua to be strong and courageous. Now notice God repeats this in verses 6, 7, and 9. And you know by now that whenever God repeats something, he does it because we really need to hear it. You see, even though God called and commissioned Joshua, God never promised Joshua and the people that this would be a trouble-free journey. In fact, Joshua faced a huge task ahead of him. He had to lead his people to claim their inheritance. And Joshua, we see in Scripture, was overwhelmed by this assignment. He felt the pressure of leading an obstinate people without his mentor, Moses. You see, Joshua was born a slave in Egypt, but now he was called by God to be a warrior. And so God says, be strong and courageous. Joshua, be strong and courageous. Now, of course, this courage is not about Joshua's own strength. This is not a call for self-reliance or depending on your own willpower to get through difficult times. This courage is knowing that God is present and relying on his strength. This kind of courage understands that when God calls you to a task, he enables you. This courage is strength of character to obey God's word faithfully, even when others around you do not share the same conviction. I like 1 Corinthians 16:13. I think it's a good summary. It says this: be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be of courage, be strong. You know, as a church, we face circumstances that require God's strength. And like Joshua, we feel weak at times. We feel inadequate and perhaps even fearful about the unknown. Yet God offers his strength to each of us to endure during those times. And I know when I look back in my life, there are seasons when I know that God carried me through a crisis. Perhaps God is carrying you right now. I don't know what you're going through, but some of you are being carried. Now, I don't know what you, your family, your church has endured. And perhaps this pandemic has overwhelmed some of the households in Maui. We know many are struggling financially with the current inflation. Young people have gone through difficult times. Some young people are still working through the anxiety they had during the pandemic, and they still have a lot of questions about their future. Churches are having to rethink ministry now that we're getting through the pandemic. All kinds of things are going on. This might also be a season in your life where you need courage. Where you need courage. Courage to make tough decisions. Courage to stand for what is right when others don't. Courage to help others in need when no one else is willing to lift a finger. Courage to share your faith. Whatever your battle, God exhorts us to turn to him for courage. And I believe more than ever the church needs that courage and needs that boldness. And I would add, continue to pray regularly for Pastor Jay. You see, every good shepherd needs courage to lead. And he will need to make tough decisions that will help you as a church grow and fulfill God's will. And so as we draw close to Christ, he will give us, I believe, that courage that we need. Well, there's one last thing that I see in this text that I want to share with you, and that is God requires we stay focused on his word. God requires we stay focused on his word. During the time of Moses, God gave his people the law to follow. Now, it was Joshua's responsibility to keep the law before the people. Verse 7 says, "Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you." You see, they were not to deviate to the left or to the right, but stay focused on God's revealed word. Now, this instruction became such an important word to Joshua that Joshua would quote it to the people at the end of his ministry. Listen to Joshua 23:6. He said, "Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left." You see, human nature is such that over time, I think we tend to drift from God's word. Experience and familiarity make us more confident to trust ourselves rather than the word of God. And so God warns Joshua to guard himself against taking his eyes off the word of God. And then God adds, "Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth." Now, Israel had an interesting practice that back then that most of us don't practice today. They would actually mutter out loud, verbally, the words of God while they studied and reflected on the word. They believed that when they muttered God's word to themselves, that the word would not depart from their mouth and it would constantly be on their heart and mind. So they actually did this verbally all the time. And so today we can still mutter God's word to ourselves over and over again. We can read God's word, we can study God's word, we can memorize it, we can recite it over and over again. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:97, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." And so we meditate on it. We ponder the word of God. We give it serious thought. Why? So that we can do what is written in it. Now, verse 8 adds this, that with obedience comes prosperity and success. Now, keep in mind, this prosperity is not riches and fame. Mature riches and fame do not impress God. To be prosperous and successful here means to accomplish a given task. It is to carry out the will of God. God's immediate will was that Joshua and his people would obey him and would conquer and settle in the land. This was a specific assignment given by God to Joshua and the people, and if they completed the task, they would be prosperous and successful. You see, this kind of success comes by obedience. To succeed in life is to thrive on doing God's will. Let me repeat that. To succeed in life is to thrive on doing God's will. And so perhaps some of us might need to redefine success. It's different in Scripture than obviously in the world. Success is when God's word influences our thoughts and influences our actions. And so in these uncertain days, our focus must be on God's word. Did you notice with the pandemic all the public hostility and how people were so passionate on social media? Even Christians were reacting on social media in very emotional ways. I know I reacted to troubling news that I would see. In more calm moments, I had to ask myself, what does the Bible say about this issue or about this political activity that's all over the news? In other words, instead of reacting emotionally, I had to ask myself things like, what does God's word say about politics? What does God's word say about war? What does God's word say about money? What does God's word say about racism? What does God's word say about immigration or unforgiveness? You see, with all these crises and disruptions in life, it's essential that Christians look to the word for answers, not to culture or to current trends. To remain the salt and light in a confused world, we must not waver from the word of God. Amen. And like Israel, we must not depart from the word of God. You see, the overall theme of Joshua is that God blesses his people when they obey him. It's not about following the crowd or being passive for the sake of peace. It's more about making adjustments to follow God. Jesus said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. So let me ask you, what is God saying in your life? What does he want to accomplish through you? What does he want to accomplish through this church in the days ahead? In this season of change, I want to challenge you to seek God with all of your heart and trust him as you walk through this time of growth, because it will be a time of growth. The same God of Joshua is actively working in each of our lives today. He's not done with us, but he also has great plans for his people in the future. In a moment, I'm going to pray, and I want to challenge you to be pliable and courageous as God shapes you as individuals and you as a church. You have an opportunity to see God glorified in your life and in this church. Now, perhaps some of you have been involved in church life or you're watching online, but you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Let me say this. God's greatest desire is that you enter into a personal saving relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. And so this means turning from sin and placing your faith in Christ. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross to pay for the penalty of your sin, but you must believe in him, believe in the one that he sent. This morning you can surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And this could be a new start that you've been looking for. And so perhaps God's preparing you to make those changes. You can see me or one of the elders after service if you have any questions about what it means to follow the Lord or to know the Lord in a personal way. Or if you need prayer, I'll be available after service. In these exciting times, yet uncertain times, I challenge you to move forward with courage and a new or renewed trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you're the same God that works today, that worked today, worked in Joshua's life as well. You're still in control. You're still sovereign. You're still almighty, carrying out your purposes. Thank you, Lord, that we can be a part of what you're accomplishing in the grand scheme of things. Thank you that we can be a part of your kingdom. We can experience eternal life even now. Father, we thank you that we can entrust our future to you because we don't know what the future looks like. And we ask with that you would help us to believe in you today, because today is what you've given us. And it requires faith to walk in this day today. Continue to make yourself known and give us courage. Give us courage, Lord, when we need courage. Give us patience when we need patience. Give us a humble heart when we need a humble heart. And Lord, give us a renewed hunger for your word, because we know We're still learning and we're still growing in your grace. Thank you again for this congregation, for all that they have endured, for their faithfulness, for their continued love for you. I pray your blessing on this congregation as they move forward with their new pastor. And Father, if there's anyone here who has participated to some degree but has not made that decision or joined you in that decision to follow you, I pray you would give them the courage to say yes to you today. Thank you again, Lord, for your promises and the word. Thank you that we can celebrate you and your faithfulness each and every day. And we give you praise and ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.